It's been tough going, but Shannon and the Clams have released their new album, The Moon Is in the Wrong Place. It's tough because Shannon's fiancé, Joe, was killed in a car crash just weeks before they were to be married. Here is Shannon Shaw, along with guitarist Cody Blanchard, to tell us how they were able to regroup after such a tragedy and make this very special record.
For me, it was like, personally, it was non-negotiable. Like, I needed to write music right away. I absolutely had to. And I had a lot of songs. And I don't remember exactly if we had a conversation where I asked to do it, but we got together in like January 2nd and started coming up with demos. So it happened pretty right. soon after.
And you say you had a lot of songs. Is that normal for you to have a lot of songs and ready to go, or was this an unusual circumstance?
I had a lot more songs, a lot more ideas than normal. I think, whenever I'm processing something really big and painful, making music, making art is usually my release. It's really cathartic for me. So it only felt natural for me to start doing that. But this is just so much bigger than anything else I've ever been through before, that the volume of music coming at me was pretty massive.
And Cody, what were your thoughts going through?
Yeah. I mean, I just assumed there'd be, Shannon would be writing like right away. Pretty quickly after Joe passed away, I just figured there'd be writing happening, almost reflexively. It was the same for me. Although I think I had a little gap. I had a little bit of a gap before I started writing anything. Mm.
So the sound of your band is kind of celebratory and upbeat, yet you had this to deal with. Did you guys had to discuss how you were going to approach making this record, to maybe, and especially with Dan producing, this is third time with you. I'm guessing that was a plus to work with somebody who you're kind of close with anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we worked with him a few times, so it was pretty familiar. Like, we all know each other really well. So it felt like they were equipped to handle it, you know?
We're not unfamiliar with writing emotional songs. I feel like that's always been a part of our sound, but they're definitely, I know that I had some worries about it being too much of one thing. You know, I was afraid of it being too many sad songs or too dark. There's two songs that didn't make it on the album because they were way too dark and just felt like unnecessary torture to the fans. And I also was concerned with a song like Beanfield that's so upbeat and is about celebration and being together. I was really afraid that by putting out such an upbeat song, it would be off-putting and the message would get lost in the positive feeling. But I was wrong. Meet me in the Beanfield.
And how have the fans reacted? The record's been out for a little while now, so what kind of feedback have you gotten? Yeah.
So good. I'm getting,
it's been great.
I'm getting like calls and texts from people like all day. Just wanting to talk about it, which is like unusual.
Yeah.
For me anyway. Yeah, it's just like, because we've heard the record like 1,000 times, because we wrote it, recorded it, mixed it, and then did music videos, and you're hearing the song over and over, and then you kind of like forget what it was like to hear it the first time anyway, and then everyone else hears it, and then they are calling you and texting you, like, you know, over the moon. And then you remember, like, oh, maybe it is really good.
It is. I think it is really good. Does this album feel more of a collaborative effort between the four of you than previous ones do? Because everybody's singing, taking leads, and doing things like that.
I don't know. It didn't feel that different to me, but we have Will singing lead on a song, which we have never done before. But he has like his own records that he's done. He's been the lead vocalist for like a few bands, you know. So we have him singing lead on one of these. I don't know. Was it more collaborative? I'm not sure. Maybe it was just.
I mean, it was like it.
Oh, you go.
It was like an actual process, you know. I think a few of those songs got formed all together. You know, definitely. I think more things came out of our January jam than you realize.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we just jammed so much material that, and most of it, like, we didn't use that. So that's, for some reason,
it was like 30 something songs.
Yeah, we like 30 like pieces of songs that we worked on, and so that, for some reason, that's what I remember as, like, well, we didn't even, of those 30, like, we maybe only used 5 of those, but then we had like another 10.
Right. So what was the filtering process like? Who made what decisions? What kind of discussions did you have?
I mean, at some point we had too many songs and we were like, okay, we're only going to do songs that are about Joe. And that helped us. Because there was like some other things, you know, like we all have a lot going on in our minds or whatever. But you even brought a song that was about your uncle also. At some point, Shannon, but
yeah.
It just made it cleaner and easier to just say, like, okay, nothing goes on here that's not specifically about Joe. So that made it easier. And then I think the other stuff, like these 30 songs that we worked on or whatever, like a lot of it was just about finishing them. A lot of them just didn't get finished. Like, there was cool parts, but it wasn't, no one really like took the reins and like finished them. So either that's like, I don't know, we didn't have the mental space to like finish that many songs, or maybe they weren't that strong, you know, they weren't like begging to be finished in a way. I think certain songs will like keep nagging at you. Like, I'm still good. You got to finish me.
Right.
Finish writing.
The baby eagle.
Baby eagles. Oh yeah. Do you know about the baby eagles? I keep talking about that. It's grossing everyone out. I guess bald eagles will often have 2 or 3 babies, and then they just naturally are born at like different sizes, and whichever one grows the biggest, the fastest, then they only feed that one, and then they let the other ones die, and then the biggest one will then eat the dead ones.
Man, nature's rough, isn't it?
So yeah, it's really weird and harsh. So anyway, I kept talking about that for picking singles and like picking songs, and like, it's really stuck in everyone's mind.
It's the kind of thing that would do that.
Baby eagles. Cruel. Yeah.
And production wise, you guys use a lot of interesting instrumentations, vibraphones, mellotrons, glockenspiels, and on Big Wheel, you've got trombone and baritone. How do those enter into the mix? Who brings them in?
You know, Dan is responsible for a lot of that. I think he's, I think all of us like innately would want, like if we had an unlimited studio and we were alone, we would want to have all this stuff in there, like all these weird instruments. But I think we wouldn't exactly know where to put them and when. Like that's really hard when you have all these options, like being able to hear like this part needs the Glockenspiel. And so Dan has a lot of stuff crammed in a really small space. And he's also really good at just sitting back and listening and saying like, somebody go get on that vibraphone. Like and we need it right here. And he's just really good at hearing that stuff. And I don't know. I mean, everyone has ideas and brings things in, but and he also, I think, makes all those tools available, all those instruments available to us. Like I was saying, like tons of gear in a really small space. And he has it set up so there's a microphone on every instrument,
right?
So it's just ready whenever he gets the impulse to be like, we got to record that you know, whatever organ or whatever kind of sound he's thinking of, and it's just ready to go, so you don't have to wait around. Yeah, so I credit Dan with that, but I know all of us like definitely have that impulse to put lots of weird.
But at the same time, I was just watching your Paste Studio little live performance in Austin, and it's very basic. Yeah. I mean, there's just the four of you playing the four instruments.
Very basic.
So how do you have to adapt between what you did on the record and what you do live?
Something now when you left this world, now there is some imposter in the sky. We search for you in starlight.
I love doing that because it feels like such a contrast, and it's actually harder because you have to do more with less. But I feel like we always sound better like that to me, or maybe it's just easier for us to like, when it's a little quieter and there's less going on, it's like a little easier to manage, and to hear what's happening. But we're trying to do that more because we're going to be doing radio stuff when we're on tour this year. And we've been talking about like, let's do not quite acoustic, but like get a more minimal setup. Cause I think it is better for, I think it usually ends up sounding better for like an on the fly recording like that. But it's and then you play the song again, you're like, okay, I only have one of these keyboard, or like, I don't have the keyboard I use, or I don't have all my effects pedals. So what am I going to do? And then you have to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
And the track Big Wheel, or the song, I'm wondering if you mind going deeper into how it was put together and assembled, because it does have there's that kind of sci-fi synth thing happening, and I love that.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a video that goes along with it. So, and it's yours. You wrote the lyrics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was writing it, I don't know, I was writing it and it was just really guitar heavy and kind of like sludgy, and I was listening to it and I was like, I was playing back a demo that I recorded and I was like, I don't want this to sound like just straight like Hawkwind or something, or like Wolf Mother, or I was like, it needs something, it's too... I don't know. It's like too straightforward. And then I was in this room for like 2 hours, like playing different keyboard lines and trying to come up with the thing. And I was thinking about like songs with a cool, like rock songs with a cool synth lead, I mean, Black Keys have a great one, Fever. That song has a really cool little synth lead. What's the other one? King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard have one from a couple of years ago called, what is it?
Pink, I'm surprised you can remember any of theirs. They put out about 5 albums a year.
I know. That one was, that song was very like, felt very like intentional. It was really very like low tempo and very produced. Anyway, so I was like just thinking of all these songs with like a synthesizer lead, and I was like, it needs something weird like that. So then eventually I was like doing all these different runs, and then I found that one. And then Will played it, and he plays it a little bit different than I do, and that is cool. Also, that adds a little something. And then in the middle part, well, so we add all the horns and stuff. That was done later, and we didn't even use like as much horns as I wanted, because this was like a few months after we finished. I kept asking the studio engineer, Parker, I was like, I want to get some horns. Like, I know you guys have a horn guy. Cause that's the other thing at Easy Eyes Sound, is they have all these musicians in town that they can call in at like a moment's notice, and they'll come in and play on your track. Which I've never experienced before, but in Nashville, there's just like thousands of those people. So they had a horn guy, come in, and then he like, we were texting, and then he called me, and he was like talking about asking me what kind of stuff I wanted. He played horn on a couple songs, so I was like trying to give him a vibe. But he put horn on the whole song, and we listened, and we just didn't like, I don't know, it just sounded kind of corny or something. But we kept it in that on the chorus, it's just kind of in the back, but it's like adds this like volume, and then in the middle section, the weird instrumental section. And then there's like right when we do that break to the instrumental part, there's the cool like synth line that's just kind of like revving engine sound. What I remember is that like we were working on, we were like mixing that and the overdubbing, and then I went to the bathroom, which is on the other end of the studio, and I came back, and what I remember is Nate, our drummer, was on, he was on this synthesizer in the control room with the engineer. And I just came in, and he was like doing that sound. And I think Dan was there like kind of conducting him, or like, yeah, do that, like go up, you know? So I don't know, that just happened really like
cool.
Off the cuff in a last minute overdub. But I don't know, is that enough about?
Well, it's what I love about this record and the way you guys work is you mentioned Hawkwind and Wolf Mother or something, but then a track like Real or Magic, I've got my notes. It was like, oh, it reminds me of the Chantels, you know, from like early 60s. And maybe Shannon, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about how you approach your vocals, especially on that particular track, girl groups in general, or that era of music in general, how it affects you.
Girl groups. I love Wall of Sound era girl groups. I love like so much. And I really love, what's that other producer? His name starts with an N. He did the Paris Sisters.
Huh? The what sisters?
It's like a Russian Paris name. Sisters. The Paris Sisters?
I don't know.
Is don't it know. Ahmet Erdogan's brother, Nagushi,
yeah,
or whatever his name is?
Russian name. I don't know. I'll think of it. Anyways, I think that kind of music, the sad songs are what I'm drawn to. I think what they're doing is like really able to convey the feeling that's supposed to go with the song. And I mean, there's nothing quite like a beautiful harmony, you know, three people singing together, very special. I just feel like the writing was really good then too. And drumming, there's so many. I love the drumming on the Shangri-Las or on the Ronettes, and I love the drumming in, on Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Oh yeah, so good. I was gonna
so good
say but, oh,
go ahead.
When we after we recorded Real or Magic, we had this percussionist Sam Bucco came in and did percussion on like on all the songs, like all the bongos and congas and stuff. And then he was like listening to that one, and he was like, it's just so, it's like so stiff. Like it needs, I want to like feel the texture. I want to sound like someone like rubbing paper, or, you know. And he just played brushes on snare, I think, through the whole song, but you can barely hear it. But it's like, yeah, that was his reference, was like tactile. He wanted like a tactile component because it was a drum machine, and
it had a little swing to it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What else were you gonna say, Shane?
I don't know. I really wanted to use vocals and backing vocals to capture how that moment felt. And I feel like the band totally got it. You know, like I feel like how the guitar is like playing back and forth with me, and whatever, what is Will playing on there?
On what?
Does that have vibraphone?
Which?
Real or Magic?
I think it's just the Wurlitzer piano, I think.
The Wurly.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the way it's kind of like the call and response, I feel like the instruments like created a character in the song.
Yeah.
And I'm like going back and forth with this character. And I don't know. I feel like that song's really successful at capturing how things felt. Things in that moment when I had this visitation or this dream, everything felt really beautiful and quiet and like tender and glowy. And then the pain I felt when I woke up and realized that it probably wasn't real, or that it wasn't real, that the reality is that Joe is dead. You know, I think that you hear that in my voice on the chorus. Yeah, I feel like that song is
Do you do
successful.
A lot of vocal takes, or do you tend to nail it one
in
or
that
two?
Sense. So something funny about this album is on my vocal day, I was getting my feelings hurt because I thought no one was paying attention. You know, I'm usually in the control room ready to guide anyone singing. And I think that I orchestrate 95% of the backing vocals. And I'm always in there like, sometimes I'll go help Cody or whatever, just to like get to their part. And when I was singing, I felt like no one was paying any attention to me. And I really like did not want me to sing flat and it slipped through the cracks or whatever. And like, these songs are so emotional. Like when I did this one, when I did So Lucky, when I did Life is Unfair, like I just kept thinking, like, I see all those guys talking, no one's giving me any feedback. And I was pissed. And then I finally said something and was like, are you guys even paying attention? Does any of this even sound good? And someone was like, it's really fucking good. Like you're just nailing it. So I think like a couple of those songs are a maximum of two takes.
Not mine.
I wish I could remember which one. Not Cody's.
Not mine.
But it's, and that's unusual for me, really, to be able to nail it that quickly. But I took very few takes of all of my leads on this album.
That's cool. They do it really fast. Like, they like to do a record in 5 days. So there's not a lot of time. Some studios will spend 5 days on one song. You know?
Well, you don't want it to sound like a Steely Dan record. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. It's interesting. You guys are always referred to these days as garage rockers, but I don't hear that in what you're doing. That's a different thing to me. I don't know if it is to you. I would say more maybe retro rockers is a thing, because you have that kind of connection with what happened maybe 50 years, 60 years ago, but that's about it.
Yeah. I don't really hear the garage rock either, and I don't hear people throw around the word surf also. Yeah. I don't really hear that. But I think it comes from like those words were applied 10 years ago or something, or like when we were first starting, and then they just kind of stick around, and everyone who like is writing the article is like reads the other articles that were written, and it keeps going on and on.
Yes. Well, to get the picture, you look at your Wikipedia entry.
I think it can just be really hard.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Wikipedia sucks. I want it rewritten so bad.
Yeah, we can do it. You can just go edit it right now.
I don't know what to say. I want someone else to say it. I just think that we can be hard to categorize. You know, I really do feel like we are so inspired by all of the music that we love. You know, I try to explain it, and I do a really bad job, but like, I think about like a blanket is woven, or more like a tapestry. It's like so many different colors and types of thread, but it all makes this one thing. And I feel like we're made up of all of the things that we love, and ourselves are just in there. But I know that it's like human nature to want to be able to like categorize. It helps make things make sense. You know, I totally get that. Gives you context. But yeah, I don't know what to call us. Whenever people ask me what kind of music we do, I just stumble. Oh, yeah, well, they say
there's
every
two
time.
Kinds of music, good and bad. That's about it. So now you got tour dates coming up. How do you, is it going to be different for you or this time around performing and interacting and dealing with these songs in front of real people?
Yeah. It's different for me, for sure. I feel like for the last several months, I've been working with my friend Anna, who was actually really good friends with Joe, and they played in a band together. She's been giving me vocal lessons, which are really just, they're vocal lessons. But they're also, I feel like she's mentally preparing me. You know, I think that the more I am working on these songs with a person who is also of support to me and gets it, understands what the songs are about, like, it's been so handy. And is helping me like become more like galvanized, or like create armor so that I can like keep my shit together when I'm out in the world. And having to sing about my living nightmare every night all for like over an hour. So yeah. It's going to be different for me, and I'm incorporating lots of different things, like trying to make sure that I get like exercise in every day and do just extra vocal exercises as well. And, just trying to be as like, do as many things to help me with my mental health as possible.